This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Beyond the normal everyday stresses of life, prolonged exposure to severe situations leads to toxic stress, and that can set children up for health problems later in life. Recently, several organizations received a $1.1 million Bethesda Incorporated grant to team up with pediatric primary care practices to reduce toxic stress and assist with child development. Here to talk about toxic stress in children and the Bethesda grant, our president and CEO of Beach Acres Parenting Center, Jim Mason, president of Bethesda Incorporated, Jill Miller, and pediatrician at Pediatric Associates PSC, Dr. Christopher Bowling. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Chris, Jill, and Jim, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having us,
Mark. My pleasure.
Thank you, Mark.
Chris, can you tell us what exactly we're talking about when we talk about toxic stress? What does that mean?
Well, it's an interesting field, Mark. There's an area of medicine called epigenetics where actually we know that the environment affects people's genes. Actually, the changes will happen to brain tissue, will happen to your body when you're under a lot of different types of stress. And what we know is, you know, I think people have always kind of felt that, you know, like, oh, I don't feel well when I'm under a lot of stress, when really there are some biologic reasons for that. And what we know is that with kids, they're very sensitive to it. So these things that cause lifelong stress for them actually can make genetic changes and can make real medical differences for kids.
That's amazing. All the way to the genetic level. I just find that astounding.
It is really remarkable stuff. And when I first heard about it several years ago, I mean, this has been an emerging area. We were all kind of scratching our heads saying this is really kind of, you know, groundbreaking sort of work to understand how that happens.
Jim, do we have any idea how many kids are suffering from toxic stress? Have we ever done any studies in that regard?
Well, there has been research done on this, Mark, over the years. In fact, there was a landmark research done many years ago. And the concept of adverse childhood experiences was developed. And there are about 10 different things that we know kids are under stress for. And we think that about half of kids experience stress at some level at least a couple of those significant stress factors in their lives. And the issue that, as Chris was indicating, if those stress factors are not addressed early on in a child's life, it becomes toxic. And what we're really looking at trying to prevent is the onset of toxic stress, which is ongoing, consistent, chronic stress. As your previous callers were talking about, the ongoing nature of anxiety in a child that develops over time because the stress just doesn't go away.
Jill, how dangerous is this to children?
This is a project that our pediatricians are asking for, meaning
they're that concerned about it.
Yeah. Yes. Four out of five recognize that addressing psychosocial issues is just as important as addressing mental or physical issues at well checkups, but they don't have the time or resources or necessary skill sets to address it. And so through this project, we hope to provide warm handoffs from pediatrician to a Beach Acres parenting coach to talk with children and families about just maybe even small changes they can make at home to reduce the toxic stress in a child's life.
And now, when's the program starting?
It will start this fall.
November 1st.
November 1st.
We will open in three pediatric offices in Kenwood, Anderson, and over at Chris's in Crestview Hills, Group Health Associates, Tri-Health Pediatric Offices.
But as you know, getting back to the numbers, you know, Cincinnati has one of the highest poverty rates in our country, and there's a strong correlation between toxic stress and poverty. And so one of the many reasons Bethesda Inc. chose to invest in this project is, you know, to help address some of the issues related to poverty.
So, Jim, you were talking about the 10 factors. So poverty, your economic situation is one of those factors?
Yes, socioeconomic status, and that brings, as Jill indicates, many things along with it in terms of the environment in which the parents find themselves, insecurity of not having a job, food insecurity, and parents bring forth that kind of stress that they're not feeling like they can do their job as parents, and that adds stress and anxiety, as you were talking about earlier, into the family. And then the kinds of things that happen in a family, whether it's divorce or a parent trying to raise a child by themselves, or other kinds of abuse that happen in stressful environments, those all add up to a toxic environment or stressful situation, anxiety producing for children.
Chris, are there signs, just as with other anxiety disorders and stress disorders, are there particular signs to look for that indicate that this is a toxic stress situation?
Well, there are, and you know, certainly some of the things that we screen for, even things that are pretty simple, objective kinds of questions, you know, like, have you ever been a witness of your mother being abused, or is there substance abuse in the house? Is there divorce? Is one a family member incarcerated? So there are some very specific kinds of cues that indicate what would be an adverse childhood experience. But you know, I think like a lot of things, there's a lot below the surface. And if you don't ask, you don't know. So figuring out how to ask the questions appropriately to get honest answers back, I think it's one of those things, you know, like once we start digging a little bit more, and now that we've got, you know, the great thing about this program is that with some resources, we can afford to start asking those questions more deeply, because now we have something that we can do about it.
Yeah, so what long-term dangers are there? What long-term effects and problems does toxic stress present for kids as they grow up into adulthood?
Well, we think that probably about two-thirds of the kids have at least one of these stressors. The more stressors you get, the bigger the association is with later problems. And, you know, you would think there are certain things that you would think, okay, certainly, you know, certainly behavioral things are going to be an issue. School performance is going to be an issue. But what's really remarkable, too, is we see higher rates of things that aren't necessarily things that would be associated, that you would necessarily think of, things like heart disease, diabetes, obesity. There's a variety of other kinds of physical complaints. Asthma is probably more severe in kids with significant toxic stress.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk to Tammy in Cincinnati. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, this is actually Sammy, but thank you for taking my call. I'm curious about your thoughts on utilizing child life specialists in not only medical settings, but also in child advocacy centers. I'm pursuing to be a child life specialist, and as a career, we focus on the psychosocial care of adolescents and utilizing play and developmental appropriateness to help kiddos master the adversities they're facing. Do you guys have any thoughts on that specialist?
I think child life specialists do a fantastic job, Sammy. They are really, you know, they're really at the forefront in figuring out how to do this. I've seen some fantastic programs that have been run by child life specialists in helping kids explore things like sexual abuse they may have experienced, physical abuse, pointing out neglect. Child life specialists are trained professionals that have a critical role in this, and I think the more settings we can get them in and get them appropriate compensation to be in those settings, the better.
And I would just piggyback on Chris's comment, Sammy. I think I agree 100%. The nature of this project specifically is on the parenting and the parents of the kids, because one of the things that we see is oftentimes parents come to a pediatric office with a complaint about a bellyache that's unexplained, or other kinds of physical symptoms that a pediatrician may have some ideas about what it is, but the actual time to deal with it and the access to resources in the community may not be readily available. So to have a parent coach down the hall that a parent can be referred to immediately for access to listen to them and to find out what the issues are, our aim here is to, as Chris said earlier, reduce the causes of stress by screening for these problems, but then also to work with the parents to promote healthy and effective parenting practices and connect them to resources in the community that they may not be aware of.
And through this project, we hope to create new pathways between medical and community service providers. And Bethesda Inc. is in a unique position where we're aligned with a healthcare system here, TriHealth. And so we want to forge important collaborations and community partnerships to provide better care for our patients.
And you'll start off with the coaches in three pediatric offices in November. How many are you shooting for?
We've actually been doing a little bit of work on this already in partnership with the Meyerson Center for Safe and Healthy Children at Children's Hospital with Dr. Bob Shapiro as the director. With a grant from the Kresge Foundation, we've been in a couple of practices already. So that'll take us up to five altogether, with a long-term goal of getting to 9 or 10 over the three-year period. And in that time, we'll be testing the various interventions and plans that we do with the parents, the access to community resources, and studying each aspect of this. I just want to tip my hat to Bethesda Inc. because as Chris indicated, a lot of these problems take a long time for them to develop, to understand how the symptoms are connected, and these can be lifetime problems. A child who doesn't attach well to his parent or her parent and has these early on anxiety problems can have a lot of long-term health troubles. And not very many insurers or health systems can have the patience or the innovative spirit to invest in looking at these long-term solutions. So I just, Jill, I think it's awesome that Bethesda Inc. is innovative enough and foresighted to invest its resources this way in studying what might make a real transformative difference in how pediatric care is delivered in the long run.
And we're talking about the coaching aspect. There's also the screening aspect of the whole program. And tell us a little bit more about that.
So the screening aspect will be embedded in a well checkup for your child. And through that process, there's potential triggers that then will alert the staff or the pediatrician that this child or family could benefit from a parent coach. And they'll be able to walk down the hall and provide a soft handoff and introduce the parent coach. And that parent coach will work with that family and or connect them to community resources that can help them longer term.
Chris, how do you measure the amount of toxic stress the child is undergoing? Is it even possible to know?
No, it is. It's kind of interesting. If you can quantify the number of stressors that they have, it is somewhat predictive of how severe things are going to be and what kind of support services you need to get for them. So it is fairly quantifiable. And there are studies that have been done and ways that you can actually score with a validated indicator how much at risk this child and this family truly is.
One of the things that I really want to emphasize, too, on the parenting piece, because I, as Beach Acres Parenting Center, we work with 20,000 kids and parents every year, and we really believe all parents love their kids and want what's best for them, and we all have challenges along the way. And oftentimes we're reluctant to get help, to seek help, because we think that we did something wrong, we have to admit a mistake, we feel guilty for not being a good parent. And the whole piece of this project is to say, look, we know you love your kids, you're doing the best you can, we all do the best we can with what we have at the time, and we're here to provide some reassurance, some guidance, some education, some access to resources to help the parent really feel like they are sort of the executive in their family and have some authority over what goes on and some effectiveness.
Yeah, Jill, beyond the coaching and the screening, and what are the long-term plans for this program? Where is this headed eventually?
Bethesda Inc. invests in new ideas and new approaches to hopefully transform healthcare delivery here in the community. And so we take a risk. It's a three-year project, and 3 years is not a lot of time to implement an idea, scale it, and sustain it. But we are very hopeful that we will prove the outcomes of a paradigm shift from, this sick care approach to more preventative, proactive care, and prove the long-term benefits of investing, such as parent coaching, to even payers long-term.
And so you're looking to create a model that others could actually follow in this
area. That is our hope. We're willing to take the risk that other funders aren't to prove a sustainable model that then other funders and payers are willing to get behind and sustain it and scale it.
513-419-7100 to join us. Let's talk to Rita and Colerain. Hi, Rita.
Hi, thank you for having me on the air. I actually work for the Every Child Succeeds program. I am a family support worker, and I work with families predominantly in the Priceville community. So my question was, given the connection between certain psychosocial issues and higher risk populations, how was the decision made to open offices or implement these programs in locations such as Blue Ash and Anderson versus communities such as Price Hill or Avondale?
Okay.
So is that, that's a great question, Rita, and welcome to the show as a Every Child Succeeds provider. It's great to hear your questions. And as Every Child Succeeds providers, we're very well aware of what you're talking about. And as we are looking at this project, we're looking for the partnership that we have with Group Health and TriHealth. We're looking for pediatric practices who have stepped up and sort of looked for opportunities to be involved with this. We have a pediatric advisory council at Beach Acres Parenting Center that Chris actually chairs. It's been around for a few years, and that was that's made up of a group of pediatricians from across the community who've been involved in helping think about this and contributing to it. We have very clear plans to expand into other practices. These just happen to be the ones that were on the bubble for first early adoption, and we have intents. In fact, we are working in Eastgate at a federally qualified health center out there, already have been for a while. So on our radar map, frankly, is to have a balance among urban, suburban, and rural practices because we want to demonstrate this across diverse populations. So totally hear what you're saying, agree with you, and it's definitely in the plan book.
So, Chris, talk to us about ways to cope with toxic stress. What are some things that doctors can do to help reduce it? What are some things that parents can do to help counter this?
You know, certainly the actual effect of having a parent counselor in the office is going to be great. Certainly enhancement of parenting skills is really appropriate. Getting people connected to support services that they need, you know, addressing food security, addressing proper behavioral techniques. Pediatricians have a lot of skills themselves, but we're also really big connectors. Agencies like Beach Acres, Family Nurturing Center, some of the other ones that are out there that are really good at 4C, places that are around that, you know, that you can get people connected to in order to help them get services that they need. Our job as a pediatrician is to both kind of help parents on the front line, hopefully with getting parenting techniques in our office that'll be also assisted, but also being a connector to resources in the community. In line with what Rita was said too, I couldn't agree with her more. The communities that have the biggest need for this, really we need to get into those communities too. But poverty is pretty pervasive. It is everywhere. And I think that a lot of times people overlook poverty that is throughout our area. We need to be everywhere with these kinds of programs, in my opinion.
The last stat I looked at is 2 children in the city of Cincinnati, 1 out of 2 are living in poverty. But what I didn't realize is if you look at the region, 1 in 5 children are living in poverty. And I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Hmm. Well, Chris, Jill, and Jim, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
President and CEO of Beach Acres Parenting Center, Jim Mason, President of Bethesda Incorporated, Jill Miller, and pediatrician at Pediatric Associates PSC, Dr. Christopher Bowling. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. Dave Shermer was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. It's getting close to the time of year when many people are ready to hang up their hoes and shovels and put their gardens to bed until next spring. But there's still plenty of growing season left in our region. On the next Cincinnati Edition, our horticulture experts discuss crops to plant now so you can enjoy fresh vegetables through the fall months. And they'll answer your gardening questions. That's on Cincinnati Edition, tomorrow afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.